From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is being made this summer at camps throughout the region, and those camps look different this year. Sleepaway camps are not allowed to open in New York State this summer due to the pandemic, but Governor Cuomo has given the green light for day camps, and that means camps across the state have had to make adjustments very quickly, either to create protocols for kids to be together in person at day camps or to move their programming to virtual spaces only or via, in some cases, via mail. They call it camp in a box. This hour, we talked to a number of representatives from local camps about the creative decisions they've made for this summer. And while we have many camps to discuss this hour, this still is just a small number compared to what's available in this community. We know that. We'll be continuing this conversation in different ways as the summer progresses. Today, we're kicking off with Jason Gottfried, Associate Executive Director for the YMCA of Greater Rochester. Jason, thanks for taking time to join the program.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
I'm a YMCA camp family guy. Many, many years. Okay. My family, going back to the 1940s down on Chautauqua Lake, and we all miss it, and a lot of Dawsons miss it this summer. But I know there's day camps. Tell me what's going on, you know, sort of broadly speaking, then we'll get a little bit more specific.
Yeah, so, I mean, like you said, we are we're running all of our day camps, and as creative and socially distant and safe as we can, I think that's number one. But the biggest thing that when we came back is we knew that we had to be here for these kids coming off 3 months of quarantine, not being in school. So the safety protocols and the things that we're doing seem easy to make sure that this is happening for these kids.
I'm looking at the list of what you're doing. So let me go ahead and read down this list, and we'll talk about how it's working so far. Obviously,
sure.
Reduced capacity, physical distancing. Kids have to go through health screenings each morning. Campers stay in groups to 10 and units of less than 50. Morning and afternoon care provided at no extra cost. That's 7 to 9 and 4 to 6. I'm looking at that list thinking the first thing that hits me is how realistic is it that kids can physical distance? Like, I mean, that's so hard,
yep.
Especially at camp, Jason.
Yeah, absolutely. And we want this experience to be for the kids as normal as possible. That's what they need. As far as the distancing, it's funny you say that because these kids have come here. This is what they know now, and we're teaching it from a camp standpoint. Our staff are doing an amazing job. That is their job, is to make sure that to the best of our ability, we're keeping our campers distant. And the biggest thing, the guideline that you read about groups no bigger than 50, we're looking at that group of no bigger than 50 as our household or the group of kids that are together when need be. So if it rains and we're inside, we have to be in a building, we have that group of 50. Otherwise, they're traveling in groups of 10, and they're experiencing camp in those groups of 10. So, the kids are so receptive and so good. I think they want to be here, and they know that as long as they're doing what we're asking of them, that this will still be able to happen for them.
That's so interesting you say that, because I can't tell you how many times I've heard from parents or even teachers getting ready for whatever school looks like in the fall who have said it is remarkable how much kids have had to figure this out and have figured this out and generally know. That doesn't mean kids, you know, won't have moments, but they really are impressive. So what has it been like for you at the various day camps? I mean, what's the review so far here, you know, in early July, Jason?
It's been amazing. It's been amazing from an operational standpoint that, you know, when we got word we were going to be able to have summer camps, that it was, okay, how do we do this? And again, our focus and our goal is so universal around the Y Rochester, and I'm sure all day camps for kids, is that we want kids to be here. So it's been great. Parents, kids are happy. It's so crazy and amazing that, you know, every year we know how important day camp is for kids. This year is, and I've been in the camping game for 18 years, and to see these kids on the first day, the first week, walk back to this space and be around people and have people just, again, be as normal as possible. From their standpoint, we want this to be as normal as possible. So it's been so receptive, and parents are happy. You know, they're happy to see, you know, our counselors are wearing the face coverings, face masks all day long. 95 degree heat. They're amazing. These people out there, our staff out there with these kids, are making this experience what it is for campers. And you know what? We're learning every day and adjusting every day. So I couldn't be more happy for the way that our camps have rolled out, and we're only going to get better as every week comes.
I'm looking again at that list, thinking about health screenings each morning for kids. So again, explain what that means.
Sure. So every morning when our campers are checked into camp, we take their temperature, and then we ask them all of the questions about symptoms and if they traveled. And, you know, that's something that changes every day with New York State right now about the quarantine if they come back in after they've gone to one of the hotspot states. So we update that list daily, and we communicate that to parents. That's our screen coming into camp, as well as our staff being health screened before they start work every day. We've got a mobile app that our YMCAs will use when we are allowed to open our buildings that our camp staff use to go through a screening, and then they scan into our membership system, so we have a count of where and when they're here. It's been going very well, and we're very excited to be doing it.
What can you not do with day camps that you would do outside of a pandemic?
So it's not really there's not really much that we can't do. The biggest thing is just, when we have our flagpole, for example, in the morning, which is such a staple in our camps and traditions, we're doing it just, we're not bringing the entire camp together. We're doing it in smaller groups. So we'll bring a group and make sure that they're almost 50 to 100 feet apart. So they're never really intermingling at all. So that type of, some of those larger camp activities that we would do with everybody at camp, we've modified them. So a lot of things, it's not that we're taking away, it's more that we're modifying. To make sure that it fits what we're doing. And that's our job as camp professionals, to make sure that we're able to provide the exact same experience under such different circumstances.
Were you a camp counselor at Camp Arrowhead?
I was.
I got a note on Twitter from Gabe, who says, Jason was my counselor at Arrowhead in the early 2000s, and he is my favorite counselor of all time.
I bet I know who Gabe is. I'm guessing I know who Gabe is. I started as a counselor at Camp Arrowhead in 2002, and then just been in the camp game and in the Y for a long time, started my Y career.
Well, and that's the reason I read that is any one of us who've been to summer camps, we can remember favorite counselors. We can remember the impact that camp as an experience had on our lives. And, yeah, I'm biased. I'm partial to it. I mean, it's a big, big part of my family's life for decades. I am concerned as I look forward here. I mean, you're doing what you have to do at the YMCA to make day camps work, and we're going to talk to other camp programs throughout this hour. But I'm worried financially for all camps, not just YMCA camps. I'm worried about what it means going forward. So before I let you go here, are you confident that we're still going to see camps as we know them outside the pandemic again, whether it's next summer or sometime beyond, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, like I said at the beginning, our goal is to make the experience for these campers, the things you just said about staff impact, the things that people are going to remember about these camps and the experience that they have are going to be the people. And I always believe that staff are number one. They're going to make the difference and the impact on the kids. The experiences that they have and the activities that they do, they're run by individuals. So I believe that certainly hopefully camps are going to feel that way this year from a camper standpoint, certainly from a parent and from a staff. We're doing everything we can. It's very different for us. We will get back to what camps people know, and especially when you think about overnight camps, they're going to forever be changed with what we're living with. And maybe that's not such a bad thing. We're putting in new protocols and things that are going to keep kids healthier and safety anyway. So I truly believe that our goal is to get to the point where we can live with this, with these protocols and guidelines, and the kids are going to be impacted in the same huge way. And I hope that the financial situation that certainly is going to be harmful to a lot of, it's happening to a lot of businesses, that camps and other things are going to be affected. I hope it doesn't take this experience away from kids, because as I said, this is needed, and we are so happy to be providing that for this community.
30 seconds. Are there spaces still open for day camps this summer?
There is. Please visit YRochester, RochesterYMCA.org, YMCA Camp Arrowhead, Camp North Point, and Camp Bayview are our main camps that are running for school age. We have preschool camp at our Eastside YMCA, and then, of course, way down to Camp Corning, they're running a great day camp down there. So RochesterYMCA.org, we have spaces available, and we are excited to have everybody come out and have a great, great summer.
Jason, have a great summer. Have fun with the kids, and thanks for what you do.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. Have a good day.
Jason Gottfried is an associate executive director of the YMCA of Greater Rochester. We're talking camps and what camps have had to do to adjust this summer, and I want to bring in Kim Ferris Church, who is Humane Education Manager for Lollipop Farms, Humane Society of Greater Rochester. Kim is on the line with us now. How are you?
Hi, Evan. I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I'd love to know what's happening. What's typical in the summer for what you guys do, and now what's pandemic life look like?
Well, that's a really good question. And, you know, listening to you and Jason speak, I also grew up in YMCA camps as a child and, you know, as a teen worked through summer camps. So it's strange to me that this is my very first summer that I am actually not doing an in-person program. Typically, Lollipop Farm, we see roughly 350 campers over the course of the summer. We have two classrooms, and they would be on site doing animal interactions and, you know, everything that's fun and camp related, just animal themed. But this summer's different.
So why don't you tell us what programs are available now?
So we are offering Lollipop Farm Camp at Home. And we are basically, we have a combination of a few various platforms. We're offering a daily Bitmoji classroom, which has self-paced activities and interactive games and things like that. We are doing live Zoom sessions as well. And then there is an additional add-on to have a camp kit that is mailed to you. And that would have, you know, everything with the arts and crafts that you need or the books that we're going over. And then in order to, you know, really connect everyone together, we're taking advantage of this platform called Class Dojo. And it's really used in schools a lot of the times. Teachers are able to connect with students and parents, and we're using that in the same exact way. And so we're on our third day of camp today, and I'm really excited because I'm learning so much from our campers. And, you know, they're able to post videos and share what they're experiencing, and it's just, it's really inspiring and fun.
I'm looking also at the program list, you know, when I think about Camp at Home, Future Vet Camp, Animal Behavior
mm-hmm.
Camp
mm-hmm.
at home. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
So we are so fortunate that we have an awesome team of animal professionals at Lollipop. We have a fantastic behavior team that is passionate about teaching kids. And people of all ages, but kids in general, too. So Animal Behavior Camp, we're going to be learning about positive reinforcement training, dog and cat body language, which will relate to bite prevention. We'll really be also just focusing on the human-animal bond and teaching empathy and compassion for all living beings. Future Vet Camp, I can tell you, is probably the most popular. And the thing that I'm really finding exciting about this, you know, Lollipop, we're way out in Fairport. It's kind of a haul for some people to get to. But because we're offering virtual content, we actually have campers from all over North America this summer. I have campers from 18 different states. We have one camper in Puerto Rico, and I have another camper up in Ontario. So I'm really excited to see the reach, and, you know, I'm breaking down that barrier of transportation and getting kids, you know, to experience Lollipop Farm.
That's really cool stuff. And, you know, down to about a minute here, but when you were talking Future Vet Camp, what's the average age of your campers?
Eight to 12.
8 to 12.
Yeah,
and
so that,
what's the daily time commitment like?
Oh, so a lot of it is self-paced. Our live Zoom sessions are really only 45 minutes to an hour when we have them. And then everything else is really when the kid wants to participate. You know, I realize people are in different time zones and not everyone wants to be plugged into the computer at all times. So that's the great part about the camp kit and the self-paced activities is that they can really pick when they want to do what activities and then when they want to share with their friends in Class Dojo.
Do you still have spaces open for people, for kids to take class and to do camp this summer?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's a lower overhead, so it's a lower cost for us this summer. So it's only $25 for a virtual session, and it's $30 additional to add on a camp kit.
Okay. Well, all the information is where? Where do people get online?
Yes, lollipop.org/camp. And that's Lollipop with a Y.
Thanks for making time, Kim. Good luck
Great.
To you. Sounds like you've been very creative, and I know it's not necessarily ideal, but hey, I love the idea that you're bringing in kids from all over the country, and keep having fun this summer. I think what you're doing is great.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Evan. Have a good day.
Kim Ferris Church is Humane Education Manager for Lollipop Farm and the Humane Society of Greater Rochester. We're talking about camp this summer. Sleepaway camp, well, not allowed in New York State this summer. So what are the camp options for kids, either in person, online or otherwise. I want to bring in Laura Kriegel, who is Executive Director of Camp Stomping Ground, who's on the line with us now. Hi, Laura. How are you?
Hi, Evan. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Tell me about what Camp Stomping Ground is. Our listeners probably want to get caught up to speed first on what it is you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So Stomping Ground's mission is to inspire the next generation of radically empathetic decision makers. So we pull together about 120 staff or 120 campers and teenagers each summer, and they partner with staff to do restorative justice work and choose their own schedule and kind of build a community together each summer. And unfortunately, this summer we aren't able to run that in-person programming, but we've been running virtual camp programming since March, and so we've learned a lot about what that looks like and how to carry on the mission of camp online.
Help kids explore the idea of radical empathy. Define radical empathy.
Great. Radical empathy is actively striving to better understand and share the feelings of others, to really fundamentally change our perspectives from judgmental to accepting, so that we can more authentically connect with ourselves and others.
I love that mission. I think it's beautiful. And what are you doing now? Why don't you kind of give the rundown for what you're able to do now and what you've found a way to do now?
Yeah, awesome. So we have programming available 5 days a week, and it's mostly week-long sessions, about an hour long. Campers, typically 8 to 10 campers sign up for things. And then we have two staff members that host each online session. Our version of virtual camp focuses on connection and conversation and competence. We offer these week-long, hour-long activities. Some are focused on hard skills like cooking or coding, and some are more focused on like narratives or decision-making, like D&D or Dungeons and Dragons is a super popular activity. We also do like storytelling or writing. And this season, we're really excited to partner with Nina Tucker, a Black educator and activist, to facilitate discussions on race and allyship with kids, parents, and staff.
How have you felt this summer? I mean, we're now into July and you're usually with them in person. How has the adjustment been like for you?
It's tough. I think our staff and our camper families, everybody is kind of feeling the disconnection. It's I loved hearing you talk with Jason, like, and knowing that you're a camp person who truly understands like the connections and the creativity and the kind of community that is formed in person. And I think our staff are excited to have the opportunity to connect with kids online, even though it's not exactly the same. It feels meaningful and is motivating for them and keeps kind of our community together.
Is it week to week? Forgive me, Laura. Is the typical overnight camp at Stomping Ground week to week?
Yes, we offer 1 week and 2 week sessions in the summer.
And what's a week? What's a typical week? How many kids usually, when you're able to do it in person, how many kids will you have?
Between 100 and 120.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the size of Camp Anyasa that I was part of for so many years. And it's an amazing community that forms, especially that first day when the kids are there and to the last day when they feel like they know everyone. And so I know you miss it. And we as parents now for our kids, we miss it, but we're so appreciative. And before I let you go, why don't you kind of give me one other sense for what else you're offering via Zoom and online that you're trying to fill the void with? What are some of the other things that are going on?
Well, Evan, one of the things that we love to do during the summer is evening programs, like that, like end of the day, either campfires or we do kind of these immersive all camp games. And we've been trying to recreate that online. So every Wednesday at 7:30, campers log on with staff. Staff are often in costumes and in character, and we'll do things like pageants or mystery nights or scavenger hunts to kind of, again, create some of that community and that creativity online.
And how do people find you if there's still space this summer?
There is still space. You can head to www.campstompingground.org and click on the virtual camp link. We have a trust-based sliding scale. We never want finances to be a barrier for any of our camp programming. And so that sliding scale allows families to choose between zero all the way up to 500. And that amount lets you in for a monthly access to all the programming we offer.
One more time, the website.
www.campstompingground.org.
Good luck to you. Again, I know it's not ideal, but you're right. I'm a camp person. It's in my bones, and I'm rooting for everyone to make it through. And not just make it through, but you're doing it really creatively, and I really admire that. Thanks for the time, and good luck.
Thanks, Evan.
Laura Kriegel, Executive Director of Camp Stomping Ground, an overnight camp outside Saratoga. Now let's come back with our sights on Rochester and the Avenue Black Box Theater. The founder and artistic director is Rena Golden, who's with us now. Rena, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Well, I mean, again, these are not ideal circumstances for us to be talking, but
yeah,
everybody's making it work as best they can. So why don't you first remind listeners what you do at Avenue Black Box, and then we're going to talk about what the summer's like.
So the Avenue Black Box Theater, and we're located at 780 Joseph Avenue, and that is you know, in the heart of a historic neighborhood in Rochester that, you know, that is in desperate need of resources, creativity, and just spaces, safe spaces where we can, you know, elevate marginalized voices and art. And we have a strong focus. Our primary focus is on youth, which means that we're a youth space that also does adult and family programming as well. And so part of being a youth space for us is that we're actually bringing the youth up in theater and in production, in the performing jobs, but also the non-performing jobs in theater, which means that at any given time, any one of them should be qualified to be able to open a theater, run a theater, or at least be an instrumental part of any production team, as well as, you know, be able to share their talents on stage.
And so if our listeners want to get involved with what you're doing this summer, what's the first way to start?
So the first way to start is really to you know, join our, you know, you want to make sure that you join our mailing list, avenuetheater.org. Also follow us on all social media. We have been, since COVID, you know, since the pandemic hit, we have been, you know, kind of transitioned into the virtual world a lot stronger than we had been in the past. And that continues for us. Here for the summer, it's a closed group, a small closed group of teens that really was, this program is created to give summer jobs to youth. So we are a part of Summer of Opportunities, which is a City of Rochester program, as well as a continuation of our teen fellowship program. We have teens that are urban fellows, and they, you know, again, they work in the space, they learn in the space, and they also become, you know, agents of change in our community using arts and culture. So I have a group of 10. It's all my slots filled up really quickly. But the ways that, you know, folks can continue to get involved and contribute really have to do with, you know, becoming, you know, part of our virtual audience when we're live streaming things out into the, you know, into the community and into the world. Also, you know, we're a space that's fueled by love, and that means donations of time, energy, money, and supplies. And I'm really thankful for those who have decided to make the Avenue their baby and make sure that we always have what they need.
Where do they find you online, Rena?
AvenueTheater.org.
Now, before I let you go, can I ask you a little bit about some of the specific programs going on?
Sure.
No Drama for actors age 13 and up. How's that going?
No Drama Club is the flagship of my my youth program. It's something that existed even before the Avenue Black Box Theater. It's an opportunity for those who have the chops, you know, the creativity, but specifically Black and Brown youth who don't necessarily have these opportunities in their schools to actually become a part of a real theater production, right? Not just a talent show at school or a Black History Month program, but actually, you know, learn the ins and outs of developing themselves as an actor or, you know, a performance artist in some way. No Drama Club, we put on at least 2 plays per year. This year it will probably stick right around the 1 mark just because of, you know, the limitations of COVID. Maybe things will pick up and we'll be able to do a winter production at the end of the year as well. But mostly it's an opportunity for our youth to shine, to get a chance to shine on stage. And this year we're also working with Jamie Bermudez of True Art, and so we're going to be doing something with musical theater that again is live streamable.
Avenue Steam to Stage.
that's really a pleasure for me to find a way to bring STEM in, but actually give it an arts focus, and theater is a natural fit for that. So that's science, technology, the art piece of it, and, you know, engineering and art and mathematics, but the art piece of it kind of brings it all together. So that's our youth who are interested in creating sets, creating props, working the technology up in the lighting booth, in the sound booth, learning about multimedia and graphics, creating graphics that become a part of the set for our production. So that's what Seeing the Stage is, and it's a lot of fun, and they learn a lot, you know, in a setting that gives them an opportunity to be a part of the team, even if they are not as interested in being on stage, but learning how valuable what is happening off stage or behind the stage is important, that I think our youth, have latched on to as an idea that, okay, wait, I can still contribute, and I can contribute in a big way to a theater production.
And Avenue Fellows.
Yeah, the fellows that's my sustainability model, to tell you the truth. Like, that's where, you know, again, we're raising them up in theater to have an opportunity to contribute in a way that actually fuels this place, actually makes it go. And our fellows, they're lifelong fellows, but they get to sign on in semesters. And so we're right now in the summer fellowship. Our spring fellows were completely virtual, but then we moved into the summer. Many of them came back for a summer fellowship, and some of the work that they're going to be doing, because there's a real serious focus on social justice and community engagement. So they'll be working with me and many of the other Black Lives Matter organizers on much of the work that's being done right now to make some real change in Rochester.
Well, I'm certainly impressed with what you're doing this summer, and I know you've made adjustments just like so many others have had. Thanks for making time for the program, Rena, and sometime we'll be allowed to see each other in person, but good luck with what you're doing at Avenue Black Box.
Thank you so much. I look forward to a time when we can see each other in person safely as well.
You got it. Rena Golden, founder and artistic director of the Avenue Black Box Theater, weighing in on what they're doing for kids and for summer programming. We're talking camps. We're talking about what's happening in spaces that used to be in person. And now what happens when there's no sleepaway camps? There's often day programs cut. So we're looking at camps all across our region and finding out what's still available, what's open for kids, what it looks like, the changes, etc. This is going to be our only break of the hour, and we've got a lot more to share with you on the camp side coming up. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections, Hulu pulled down an episode of The Golden Girls in which two of the women are wearing mud masks. And Hulu says it was a racist episode and shouldn't be shown. But now, a number of Black writers are saying that Hulu is infantilizing what is an important moment about understanding race. And we're going to talk about the history of the Golden Girls as very much ahead of its time on Homophobia and Race Thursday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. So many kids would be at summer camp if not for the pandemic right now. But it turns out a lot of kids are at summer camp. It's just doing it a different way, sometimes virtually, sometimes modified programs in person with different rules, sometimes even camp in a box, as we're going to find out coming up. I want to bring in Melinda Moranti, the CEO of Gildas Club of Rochester. Melinda, how are you?
I'm doing great, Evan. How are you?
Well, good. And again, I know that we wouldn't choose to do it this way, but you're making do as best you can. And Camp Open Arms, tell our listeners what it is.
Well, Camp Open Arms is our annual camp that we do every summer, and it is a camp for children who either have cancer themselves or one of their family members have cancer. And it has been probably a tradition of ours for over 30 years now, and we find it's a remarkable week of when the kids actually get together. They can just spend the time doing fun summer camp-like things, activities. They can get to know other kids who are going through a similar situation as they're going through. And it's really just been a marvelous program for our organization over the years.
How hard has the pandemic been on trying to put together what you really want to do with this?
Well, I think it's been really challenging in a couple of ways. And I think it's just that I think one of the things that we've noticed that at Gilda's, and I'm sure everyone else has too, is that, you know, kind of the targets kind of keep moving a little bit. So kind of what you knew in March is a little different than what you know in May and, you know, kind of in June. So that's kind of what we've been seeing. So that's, I think, really where the challenge was for us trying to keep up with the times. And I think when we knew that we weren't going to be able to hold camp live, we then started to work on a virtual platform, and we found this, you know, really exciting virtual platform that we were going to be offering our program through. And then what happened is we started to reach out to the parents and the kids. And what we heard was, is, you know, we're kind of virtualed out, if you will. I don't know that that's a right word, but, you know, we've done so much virtual school, other things, that we really are looking for a different kind of experience. So we then shifted gears and we kind of moved to sort of the theme of Camp Open Arms in a Box, so that we could give kids the similar activities to what they would be doing live at camp. But rather than doing it online, we would provide the supplies and materials and project themes and those kinds of things so they could actually do it either with their family or with maybe a group of friends that they could invite over to their house and still, you know, be socially distanced and all those right things and still have some, you know, face-to-face live type fun.
And again, the supply box, T-shirts, art projects, I mean, it sounds like there's a lot going on with it.
What we did is we kind of plotted it out almost like what a week at camp mm-hmm. would be. So we've plotted out every one of the 5 days. So, you know, this would be the activities that you do on Monday, this on Tuesday. And what we did is we also put in the areas of activities that we would have normally included. So we used to do arts and craft projects. We used to do some activities around nutrition because we find that our kids' cooking programs and stuff like that are very popular. So we tried to do a lot around what we would normally do. So you might say that, you know, on Monday you might do an art project, and on Wednesday, you know, might be doing something very different. And then maybe one day you kind of prepare a homemade pizza, and then maybe another day s'mores and that type of thing. So it's kind of scheduled like a regular week of camp would be, but it's just the activities, instructions, and all the materials are in the box so that you can do that project or activity.
And on Friday, talk about how the week ends.
Well, basically what we're trying to do is see if we can do a drive. We did a drive-through lunch the last time, and it kind of worked out really well. And so we're hoping that maybe we can do something like that again, that we can we're working that in where we came. We provide lunches and those kinds of things. And people came in the drive-through. We were able to greet and meet the families and those types of things. So we're thinking about doing something. That's the final piece to the day. And we're still working with the families to see if we can make that possible. That's the last little bit of details that we have to work out on that.
Well, and Melinda, for families that want to learn more about what you do, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Well, the best way right now is to give a call, you know, to our office, which would be 585-423-9700 and to dial extension 316, and you will get in. That's direct contact with Karen Adams, who is actually coordinating our camp program this year, and she can tell you a little bit more about it and kind of what we're going to be doing this summer. And we're hoping, you know, we're getting out there now. We're probably hoping to have the box and activity pickups next week so that they can actually do the stuff during camp. I think we're actually doing some pickups next week so that they can do, you know, pick up their activity boxes and do what they would have normally done.
Good luck to you. I know the circumstances aren't what you want, but you're working really hard with it, and I know the kids will benefit. Thanks for making time for the program.
Oh, we're very happy to do it. Thank you very much, Evan, for bringing this kind of information to the community. We really appreciate it.
You got it. Melinda Morandi, CEO of Gilda's Club of Rochester, talking about Camp Open Arms and Camp in a Box. And let's stay on that Camp in a Box theme. I want to bring in Kaylin Lawrence, who's a board member for Camp Vic, who's on the line with us now. Hi, Kaylin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Tell us about, first of all, what Camp Vic is, what it usually is, then we'll talk about what's changing.
Sure. It's actually two camps. So the full name of our organization is Vic and Pathfinder Camp and Conference Ministries. So we run two camps. One is Camp Vic, which is in Freedom, New York, and the other is Pathfinder, which is in Cooperstown, New York. And we run overnight programs through the summer at both camps, and then we also rent out the camps for other organizations who might want to run their own program. We are a Christian-based curriculum, but again, like I said, we'll rent it out to other groups who want to run their own programs as well. And they're really beautiful camps with just lots of land and water. We're right on, Pathfinder's right on Lake Oswego, so we have like a sailing camp program. And Camp Vic is just huge with lots of land, so we can run a lot of programs there too.
What are you doing now to offer Camp in a Box, given that things have changed?
Oh, what a change. So I'm a big firm believer, and have been in a long time, in the importance of overnight camp for children and how it builds character and gives them independence and just makes them stronger people. But given the safety concerns during this pandemic, we just couldn't possibly run an overnight camp. So we had to, our board went from meeting 6 times a year to meeting every single week to try to think and brainstorm new ideas of what we could do. And we came up with this idea of Camp in a Box, which then two of our former staff members, who are young college-age women, came forward with a proposal to run the whole program. And we're very excited about it. It's 6 boxes in total, well, 6 weeks of boxes in total, different themes. And you can buy either one box for $40 for that week, or you can buy the whole summer for $220. And each box has its own different theme, and it gets mailed to your house. As part of that, though, there's all this online component as well, so that with each week, there's videos and campfire sing-alongs and things online, as well as instructions on how to do a lot of the activities in the box.
Do you worry at all, Kaylin, that this summer, no doubt, kids are going to stay connected as best they can, but not being able to be there in person, are you worried that camps, whether it's yours or so many camps, sleepaway camps across this country, that kids will lose that sense of connection and maybe that they'll roll around the next non-pandemic year with less of a thought of it in mind? Or do you think that you can sort of bridge that gap?
We're really hoping to bridge that gap. To be fair, across the industry had already seen a dip over the years in overnight camping because of just so much competition. Mm-hmm. Kids are, there's so many different camping programs out there and day camping programs. So, and sports and various things. And so kids are really divided and their parents are divided in time. But overnight camping just provides something that other camps can't provide. And it's that kind of away from home and that ability to discover who you are as a person. So I think we're really hoping to bridge that gap and be able to run a full program in 2021. That's the plan. So this is a way to try to keep kids connected and also busy. I'm a stay-at-home mom right now. And during the school year, I had to suddenly become a teacher, which was unexpected.
Yeah.
And thankfully, the teachers were very supportive and gave me all this material and were in communication with me. And then the year ended and it stopped. And I realized, wait a second, now I got to fill the summer without any camps or summer vacation plans. So this Camp in a Box program, and we've actually already ordered ours, has been really helpful. My kids are excited every morning to figure out what the new day's activity are going to be.
We'll make you really appreciate teachers even more, huh? I mean, it's just amazing what teachers do. Kaylin, before we let you go, how can our listeners find you?
All the information that they need is on our website, which is www.vpccministries.org. You can order the boxes through a downloadable form on the website or our online store.
Camp in a Box, another creative way camps are doing it. Kaylin, thanks. Good luck to you. Thanks for making time for the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We're talking about camps today, and we're missing camp. I certainly miss camp. My son misses camp, probably someone you know, but camps are still there. They're just doing things a little bit differently. And I want to bring in Simona Beninati, who's a communications coordinator at Flower City Arts Center, who's on the line with us now. How are you? How are you hanging in there?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good. Well, why don't you tell us what Flower City is up to this summer?
Sure. So we've been trying to navigate the best way to do camps in a way that makes parents and kids comfortable with the situation, but also gives them a very enriching experience and something that they can take with them if they want to take their art further or do something in the future with art or even science. So all of our camps this summer are a week long, and they're at half capacity, social distanced. A few of them are even indoor-outdoor camps or online. And we're trying to do a lot of collaborative classes with other organizations as well.
What about the precautions that you need to take when you're thinking about a day camp?
Sure. So we, all of our camps are super, super small. So all of our, the openings are about maybe six kids tops per class. And we have, you know, our teachers on site are making sure that everyone is a good 6 feet apart. They're wearing masks. Lots of opportunities for hand washing and sanitization. And because of the, a lot of the camps are outdoor, so that gives a lot of the kids experience to be able to breathe and be able to have fun and not have to worry so much about being in a closed space or a closed classroom.
Hmm. What about the difference between day camp and virtual camp? I mean, when you're thinking about how best to engage with kids and keep them interested and do what they want to do and what you feel best about, how do you sort of figure out how to make that balance?
Sure. We actually had this experience. We did an art kit that we gave to some schools before schools finished, mm-hmm. where we had some virtual classes with our art teachers to engage with the kids. And what was nice about those is the kids had the opportunity to do the projects on their own without the online experience. They had all of the instructions in the kits, or they could go online and work with the teachers as well. So that was really nice. And then we also had our YouTube channel, which provided all of the recordings, the class recordings, so the kids could go in their own time and look at those as well. We really did try to encourage the kids to go online, but I know that it's a very, very difficult thing to get kids to get on. But all of the kids that got on were super excited about the art. A lot of them did it with their parents, and having that family bond, I think, is something that made the kids want to come back for more.
Sure.
The parents seeing the kids, you know, wanting to engage really, really made them excited. So,
and when you're going to do photography, pottery, videography, drawing, what do you feel like you're able to do in those realms, you know, just as much as you were before? And what are you looking forward to being post-pandemic with?
Sure. I want to take a moment to chat about a couple of our classes. So
yeah,
we are
yeah.
doing one with Writers and Books, which is online. It's a week-long class, August 10th. It's for ages 12 to 14. And what's cool is they work with professional writers and photographers. At the end, they get to publish a collaborative book. And that one is all online. It goes from 10 to 3 p.m. each day. And they get to work with all kinds of different writers and photographers. And then we have Art at the Barn, which is a totally new experience for us. We're hosting it at Lear Stables and Taylor Farm in Honeyoy. It's an all-day camp. It's our only full-day camp, 9 to 3 p.m., three different sessions for ages 5 to 7 and 8 to 11. In the morning, you get to do art in the morning, and then in the afternoon, you get to learn horse riding, which is super cool.
Really cool stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot more than I think some people might expect during pandemic camping. So where can people engage?
We had to be creative.
Well, and you've done that. So where can people find you and engage with these programs?
Sure. So we have those two and then a whole bunch more different kinds of photography, ceramics, digital art, art journaling. If your kid is into journaling, we have a class for that that's starting soon next week. So you can go on to rochesterarts.org/classes, or you can follow us on Facebook and see our events at Flower City Art Center. If you search that in Facebook. We also have our digital art class for 13 to 17 is in collaboration with George Eastman House too. So there's tons of stuff to do. We have tons of classes, and as they're half capacity, we encourage parents to sign up quickly as we're expecting all of them to fill up pretty fast. I know our Art at the Barn class is filling up pretty quickly already.
Well, Simona, thanks for making the time to fill us in, and good luck the rest of the summer.
Thank you so much, Evan. Thanks for talking with me.
Simona Beninati is Communications Coordinator at Flower City Art Center, and we're going to close the hour with a set of programs that when I saw it on paper, I went, I can't believe how much they're doing at Writers and Books. Sally Bittner-Bond is Director of Youth Education at Writers and Books. You have a lot happening this summer, pandemic or not, Sally Bittner-Bond. How are you?
Yes, we do. I'm doing great, Evan. How are you?
Well, good. So let's kind of go down the list what Writers and Books is doing. First of all, what's generally the plan for how you're engaging this summer?
We are conducting all of our camps through Zoom this summer. So they are all virtual experiences for kids.
And you've got 52 reading and writing enrichment camps that started June 29th and runs through the end of August. Take me through some of what is on offer right now.
Absolutely. So just like in every summer that we offer lots of programs that relate to the literary arts in all different kinds of ways, whether it's writing poetry, novel writing, fiction writing, writing films and plays, those kinds of things, as well as camps that interact with different book series like The Magic Treehouse or Harry Potter, those kinds of camps. We have also a number of camps that address different issues related to social justice, including Citizens, which is a wonderful camp that engages kids with Claudia Rankine's book, Citizen, an American Lyric, and discussing issues of race, identity, democracy. We also have a deaf lens camp for our deaf and hard of hearing campers, where the kids are working on making their own films. So we've got a wide variety of things.
Hogwarts Academy, acting exploration, producing 90-second films, the first dual language poetry camp. What's the time commitment for kids typically like for these?
So it depends on the camp. Some of them are 1 hour a day for a week, and our longest ones are 4 hours a day for a week. Anything that's running more than an hour or two, we're taking lots of stretch breaks, and anything that's over 3 hours, there's a full hour of lunch break, making sure that, you know, Zoom fatigue does not set in for either our campers or our teaching artists.
And your instructors had to be imaginative in making adaptations for doing this in a virtual space. Tell me about that.
They have been so creative and inspiring. It has just been the most amazing experience working with our set of teaching artists to convert our programs to virtual programs. They're making connections with each other and collaborations in ways that haven't happened in the past, just because we've had to do that this year. And we haven't necessarily had to in the past, but we've incorporated things this year that will carry with us into the future once we're able to be together in person again.
Can you describe one of the virtual spaces that stands out to you? I mean, there's so many that are happening. I know there's literally dozens, but what's an example of something that stands out?
Sure. I mean, when we first started looking at moving things to virtual was back in April with our April break programs. And my first thought was, oh, we're not going to be able to move our comedy improv camp to Zoom. And, you know, she was the first teacher who came back and said, yes, of course we can do that over Zoom. And she had ideas about what, you know, the kids could and couldn't do. And the kids, you know, tested her own perceptions. And they found out they could do even more on Zoom than they initially thought was possible. So that really kind of set the stage back in April for being able to be inventive and creative to, you know, really make some exciting things happen.
What does Hogwarts Academy look like?
Hogwarts Academy is going to be so fun. Just like every year, the students have opportunities to imagine they were students at Hogwarts, where they will write for the Daily Prophet, they will take camps or different classes in herbology, care of magical creatures, defense against the dark arts. There'll be different lessons for 45 minutes with 15-minute breaks in between. And our teachers, again, who thought, well, I don't know if I can do this online. You know, our herbology teacher suddenly said, oh, my goodness, I can teach this from my garden and show them way more examples of things than I would be able to if I were in person.
Some of the advantages that you find when you're faced with trying to keep camp going during a pandemic. There's acting exploration, as I mentioned. There's film production. There's so much else going on. What kind of space do you have available for families if they want kids to be able to do this summer?
Registration is open, and most of our camps have space available in them. We also, I'd like to point out, have a robust scholarship program. We want to be sure all of our camps are available to anyone, regardless of their ability to pay for them or not. I know certainly this year, with many layoffs and furloughs, that is an extra concern. So, yes, our camps are all available at wab.org.
WAB.org for the list of dozens of such camps. And I'll close just by asking you, give me 30 seconds, give me what poetry camp is going to be like.
Sure. This week we have our first dual language poetry camp where kids are writing in Spanish and English together, writing about issues of identity and examining their own personal and creative selves. I was lucky enough to stop in virtually on that camp yesterday and see it in action. It was very exciting.
I'm so moved by what all of our guests this hour have been able to do thinking about our kids, because, you know, this is a time where kids are usually engaging with one another in person and with instructors and counselors, and they're still able to do so much. And Sally Bittner-Bond, it's WAB Writers and Books, WAB.org. Have a great summer. I know you're going to engage a little differently, but I am deeply impressed. Thanks for making time.
Oh, thank you so much, Evan. Thanks for doing this.
You got it. Sally Bittner-Bond closing out the hour. Writers and Books, but there are so many other programs, as you heard this hour, and this is just a slice of them. Part of why we wanted to do that this hour is to let you know that so many of the people who are putting camps together every year, they are finding ways. So if you typically send your kids to camp, you may find that there's more than you expected out there, and check it out with them. Thanks to everyone who took the time to come in on the phone this hour, and have fun, kids, in various forms of camp this year. Our thanks to Rob Braden, the engineer, and Megan Mack as the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a nice afternoon. We'll talk to you tomorrow on member-supported public radio.